Welcome back, everyone. Today we're doing a deep dive into a pretty important report. It's the 2024 survey report from Operation Rescue on Abortion Facilities in America. Now, this report is known for being super thorough, and it gives us like a really unique view of the trends and data surrounding abortion in a post-Roe world. If you want to check it out yourself, the full report's available at operationrescue.org.
It's so interesting how this report goes beyond just a snapshot of this year, you know? Operation Rescue has been gathering this data for years, so we can actually see how things are changing over time.
Yeah, that historical context is super important. So let's get right into some of the findings. The report says the number of physical abortion clinics in the U.S. stayed pretty stable in 2024, just a tiny decrease of 3 clinics total.
That seems kind of surprising at first, right? Especially with all the legal changes. What's interesting is that while 29 clinics closed or stopped doing abortions, 46 actually opened up again or resumed services. But there's this other trend that really stood out to me. 20 clinics switched to become just virtual pill suppliers.
Wow, that's a big shift. What do you think is causing that?
Well, the report points to a couple of things. One is how hard it is for these places to keep abortionists on staff. And then there's the money side of it. Mail order abortion pills are just cheaper to run and easier to get, which sadly makes them really attractive from a business point of view.
Yeah, that makes sense. And speaking of pill-only clinics, the report shows kind of a boom and bust cycle happening there. 32 new pill-only clinics opened in 2024, but 16 also closed. Seems like they're having more ups and downs compared to surgical clinics.
You're right. That is interesting. It makes you think about if that model can last long term. Is it all about money, or are there other things making them so unstable? It's worth considering.
For sure. One group that doesn't seem to be struggling, though, is Planned Parenthood. They're huge in this industry, and their massive taxpayer funding seems to be helping them stay strong. We're talking $699.3 million in 2022-2023.
Absolutely. And you can see that in their market share, which went from 54% in 2023 to 58% in 2024. They even launched this new abortion app called PP Direct, which offers abortion pills by mail in 6 states. It just goes to show how much things are moving away from in-person care.
Yeah, definitely a trend we're seeing everywhere. Let's talk more about that trend, the rise of these virtual abortion pill suppliers. The report showed a crazy increase from 20 in 2023 to 58 in 2024. That's a jump of 190%.
And that's directly tied to the FDA's decision to loosen restrictions on mifepristone, the abortion pill. This has raised a lot of concerns about accountability and oversight in the virtual abortion pill market.
Yeah, it's a big issue. The report actually shares the stories of two women, Amber Nicole Thurman and Candy Miller, who tragically died in 2022 after taking abortion pills. It's a sad reminder of how dangerous this method can be, especially without proper medical supervision.
Absolutely. These cases really highlight the urgent need for more transparency and accountability when it comes to abortion pills. It's like in the rush to make these pills so available, the focus on women's health and safety got lost somewhere.
Yeah, it's a serious concern. So let's be clear about what we mean by virtual pill supplier. The report says there's a difference between fully virtual suppliers, which are completely online, and hybrid virtual suppliers, which might have a physical location but still mostly give out pills virtually.
Right, and there's a big price difference between the two. Fully virtual suppliers, with their lower overhead costs, can offer pills much cheaper than traditional clinics, which can make them seem better at first glance.
Yeah, but this is where it gets really concerning. The report found that a huge 43% of fully virtual suppliers don't even require a telemedicine consultation before sending out abortion pills.
Wow, that's a scary statistic. Without a proper consultation, there's no way to be sure about how far along the pregnancy is, or rule out ectopic pregnancies or other problems. This lack of medical oversight puts women at real risk.
Absolutely, it's playing with people's lives. And it's even more worrying that the report shows many of these virtual suppliers are finding ways to work in all 50 states, even in states with laws restricting abortion.
It's unbelievable how far they'll go. They're doing this by using things like shield laws, which protect them from legal action.
Yeah.
Or they're actually based outside the U.S., making it even harder to hold them responsible.
Yeah, it's a tricky legal situation for sure. And it highlights the challenges faced by those working to protect unborn children. So with all that in mind, let's shift gears a bit and look at what's happening at the state level. The report gives a breakdown of abortion access and restrictions in each state, and it shows a real mix of laws across the country.
Yeah, it's a constantly changing landscape. The report points out that 14 states have managed to stay abortion-free despite all the pressure from pro-abortion groups.
It's a big win for the pro-life movement. And then we have 4 states, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, and South Carolina, with heartbeat protection laws actually in effect right now.
Those laws are a major step forward in protecting unborn children. They ban abortion once a fetal heartbeat can be detected, which is usually around 6 weeks.
It's great to see that progress. We're also seeing the impact of ballot initiatives. They've become a big battleground in the fight over abortion rights.
Definitely. Both pro-life and pro-abortion groups are using these initiatives to try to change state constitutions and access to abortion.
And the results have been mixed. Like in the 2024 general election, Florida, Nebraska, and South Dakota actually became the first states to defeat pro-abortion ballot initiatives. That's a major turning point.
It shows that grassroots efforts can really make a difference and that there's growing support for the pro-life cause.
Absolutely. But on the other hand, we've also seen states like Virginia expand abortion access, so it's clear the fight's not over.
Not by a long shot.
It's a battle happening in every state.
Mm.
But despite all the challenges, there are some positive trends. The report reminds us that the number of abortion facilities has dropped significantly since 1991, a whole 69% decrease.
That's a testament to all the hard work of the pro-life movement and a reminder that things can change for the better.
Yeah, it's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And despite the ongoing challenges, the fight to protect unborn children continues.
It does. And we need to keep fighting for every single life. And it really shows the dedication of so many people who believe that life is sacred. So let's look at the money side of the abortion industry. The report says the average cost for a first trimester abortion at a clinic actually went down a bit in 2024 from $637 to $605.
Oh, that's interesting. So even with more virtual pill suppliers, in-person abortions aren't always getting pricier.
Exactly. And it's important to note that this average cost covers everything. Surgical abortions, in-person pill procedures, even ones from mail order or telemedicine through a physical clinic. It gives us a good overview of the price trends.
Gotcha. What about the difference between surgical and chemical abortions? The report mentions some changes there too.
Yeah, for sure. Since 2009, we've generally seen fewer surgical clinics and more that focus on chemical abortions with pills. But Planned Parenthood seems to be doing the opposite.
Really? How so?
Well, back in 2023, they started increasing both their surgical and pill-only clinics, while independent clinics saw a decline in both. By 2024, this was even clearer, with the total number of surgical clinics going up, while pill-only clinics actually decreased.
So Planned Parenthood is expanding in both areas while independent clinics are struggling. Mm-hmm. Could that be because of all the tax cuts money they get?
It's definitely something to think about. Having all that money helps them adapt to changes in a way many independent clinics can't.
Right. The report also looks at how far along pregnancies are when abortions happen. What were some key things you noticed there?
One really concerning thing is that most clinics, 64% to be exact, are giving abortion pills to women past the FDA's 10-week limit. This means women are facing possibly higher risks without a good reason or proper oversight.
That's really worrying. What about surgical abortions?
The data says almost a third of abortion clinics are doing surgical abortions at 20 weeks or later, even though late-term abortions are much riskier for women and raise serious ethical questions.
It's a tough reminder of what's happening in this industry. The report also looks at wait times for abortions. Anything stand out to you in that section?
Yeah, the huge drop in the national average wait time really caught my eye. In 2024, it went down to just 5.5 days, the lowest it's been since Operation Rescue started tracking this back in 2017.
Wow, that's a big change. Why is that happening?
The report thinks it's probably because of a few things, like less demand for abortion clinics and the rise of those virtual suppliers. It seems more women are choosing the convenience of mail-order abortion pills, even if it means more risk.
That makes sense. We talked about the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine v. FDA case earlier. The report goes deeper into this case, which challenged the FDA's relaxed rules on mifepristone. Can you quickly recap it and explain what it means?
Sure. The case was started by some doctors and medical groups who said the FDA's looser rules on mifepristone were putting women at risk. Their main worries were about getting rid of the in-person consultation and letting regular pharmacies give out the drug.
Oh, what happened?
The Supreme Court said the plaintiffs didn't have the right to challenge the FDA. But the report points out that the new Trump administration, especially with possible changes at the FDA under Robert F. Kennedy, could really affect how easy it is to get abortion pills and how they're regulated in the future.
Interesting point. It seems like there's a lot up in the air about abortion pill rules going forward. The report also breaks down those virtual pill suppliers into different types, more than what we've already talked about.
Yeah, they go deeper into fully virtual suppliers, which are only online, and hybrid virtual suppliers, which might have an office, but mostly do pills online. They even give detailed data on average costs, wait times, and how far along pregnancies can be for these different suppliers.
It's amazing how they got all that detailed info on this new and kind of secretive part of the abortion industry.
It really shows how dedicated Operation Rescue is to uncovering the truth about abortion and making these providers accountable.
For sure.
Yeah.
One of the most shocking things is that 43% of fully virtual suppliers don't even do a telemedicine consult before giving out abortion pills.
You're right. That's really dangerous for women's health. Without talking to a doctor, there's no way to know for sure how far along the pregnancy is or rule out things like ectopic pregnancies. It's reckless and puts profits ahead of safety.
Exactly. The report also points out how many of these virtual suppliers are using loopholes to work in all 50 states, even those with strict abortion laws.
It shows how far the abortion industry will go to get around the law and make abortion more available, often without caring about the risks. They use things like shield laws or operate from outside the U.S. to avoid responsibility.
We've already mentioned Amber Nicole Thurman and Candy Miller, but the report really goes deep into their stories. Their deaths, which happened after taking abortion pills, are a tragic reminder of what can happen with this uncontrolled access to dangerous drugs.
It's heartbreaking, and it reminds us that these aren't just numbers. They're real women with families who've been hurt by the abortion industry's dangerous actions.
Their stories are a call for more oversight and accountability. We need to make sure women know the risks and that their health and safety come first.
Absolutely. We can't let this keep happening. Women deserve better, and we need to demand more transparency and responsibility from the abortion industry. These cases are just so sad. It really shows the human cost of this push for easy access to abortion pills. Now, let's shift gears to the state level. The report gives a really interesting look at how the abortion landscape is changing all over the country.
It's amazing how different things are from state to state. It's like a patchwork of laws and rules.
Exactly. The report points out the 14 states that have managed to stay abortion-free, even with all the pressure from pro-abortion groups.
That's a good sign for the pro-life movement. And then we have those four states, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, and South Carolina, with heartbeat protection laws in place right now.
These laws are a big win for protecting unborn children. They ban abortion once a heartbeat can be detected, which is usually around 6 weeks.
Right. The report also talks about the impact of ballot initiatives, which has become a key battleground in the fight over abortion.
We've seen both sides using this tactic. Pro-life groups are trying to get initiatives to protect the unborn, while pro-abortion groups want to put abortion rights into state constitutions.
And the results have been a mixed bag. The report shows both successes and setbacks, which just goes to show how controversial this topic is. For example, in the 2024 election, Florida, Nebraska, and South Dakota were the first states to actually defeat pro-abortion ballot initiatives.
Yeah.
That's a huge turning point.
It really shows the power of grassroots efforts and the growing support for the pro-life movement.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But then we also have states like Virginia that have expanded abortion access, so it's clear the fight isn't over.
Not even close.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into this report, what are the key takeaways you think our listeners should remember?
I think it shows a really complicated picture of the abortion industry in a post-Roe America. While the number of actual clinics might seem stable, the rise of these online pill suppliers and looser FDA rules are creating new dangers for women.
And the abortion industry is adapting to this new reality, using technology and legal loopholes to make abortion more available and avoid restrictions.
For sure. They're always finding new ways to make abortion easier to get, often without much care for women's health and safety.
But even with all these challenges, there's reason for hope. The pro-life movement is making progress in states, passing heartbeat laws, stopping pro-abortion ballot measures, and working hard to help women with unplanned pregnancies.
It's a good reminder that every life saved is a victory, and that the fight to protect the unborn is so important.
This deep dive into Operation Rescue's 2024 survey report has been eye-opening. I encourage everyone listening to check out the full report at OperationRescue.org to get all the details. It's a great resource for anyone who wants to stay informed about this evolving issue.
Knowing what's going on is crucial. The more we understand the abortion industry, the better we can advocate for life and support women who need help.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, stay curious and stay involved.